Welcome to The Breakfast Show on Faith FM with Scappy and Lindsay. This is the best place to start your day with positive and uplifting thoughts. You're listening across Australia on 87.6, 87.8 or 88 depending on where you are. Or you can listen to us through our Faith FM app anywhere in the world. Today is Thursday the 30th of July and this is The Breakfast Show. I've got a really good friend sitting across from me today. It's not Scappy, it's Erin. Welcome back to the show, Erin.
And a very good morning to you at home if you are rolling out of bed or you're on your way to work. It is a pleasure to be together this morning. I hope you're having a great week. It is certainly the end of July. Do you know how cold it was in my car coming to work this morning?
Cold.
It was, it said 0 degrees and I had frost on the windscreen.
Wow. Ooh, I did not have a frost.
Oh, no. Really? Oh, I love a good frost. That's when you just know it's worth feeling cold. Snow in the air, somewhere 8 hours away it's snowing.
I'm sure Scappy is really appreciating it.
I do not agree on that. I hate having to wait until my, to pull out of the driveway until I can get all the frost off so I can actually
the credit card trick.
Another couple of minutes of waiting.
Oh, dear. Well, we have got a really cool lineup for today's show. We're going to be talking about Nehemiah. We're going to be talking about putting God to the test with Erin's ultra marathon. We've got an interview with Mike Parker, and he's going to be sharing his testimony. And our circumstances don't determine our usefulness to God as well. Now, we like to start our day with a gratitude. Do you have a gratitude to share with us today, Erin?
Do you know, given that it's Thankful Thursday, I really do like starting the day with gratitude. Look, Wellness Wednesday, you can Fun Friday. What can we say? Terrific Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday, come on.
Taco Tuesday, there we go. Do you know what I saw yesterday? And this made me so thankful for the people that keep our community safe. I saw a policeman pulled over and helping someone change a tire on the side of their road.
That's nice.
It was such a good feel good moment. And I just thought, how cool is that? That is the best reason ever to see the flashing lights in your vision mirror.
Yeah.
I'm coming. Help is on the way.
I have a story about that, actually. A few years ago, I was living up in Brisbane and I went to a friend's place and got a whole bunch of free plants that were being given away. And I put them in the back of my car and stopped at another place for a little bit, got back in my car, and I was driving through a really, really dodgy part of town. As I was coming to a red light, a big huntsman crawled on my knee.
No.
And
no.
I freaked out.
On me.
Oh, it's one thing to have it in the car. It's another thing when it's on you.
And I was in the worst part of town and I had to wait at the red light, get through when it went green, and then pull over on the other side of the road
terrifying.
To get out and freak
too
out.
Much.
And so as I'm getting out and I'm like having a little dance, there was a police car coming the opposite direction. They saw me. And so they went through the same
thought
interaction.
You were some crazy lady
and
dancing.
They turned back around.
What did she
they
have
pulled
for
up behind me and they were like, are you okay? You look like you're dying. And I was like, there was a spider on my knee. And they were like smirking. They came and had a look and tried to help me out. We found another like grasshopper on my ceiling and we didn't find a spider ever again.
It's like a zoo in your car.
I had like
the grasshopper would have
plants.
Jumped in right after you. Oh yes, of course. Of course, from the plant.
Oh, the plants, that's right. I forgot about that part of the story.
A very important part of the story. I created a jungle inside of my little green car.
I have to say one more police story. Okay, so once I pulled over in like a shoulder of the road, wasn't the safest place, but it was on the side of the highway. And anyway, I see these cop lights behind me. And I was like, what have I done? I've even pulled over to reply to this text message. And he says, ma'am, do you realize this isn't the safest place that you've ever pulled over? I said, yes. But there's a boy I really like, now my husband, who's texted me and I wanted to read it in real time. And then he smiled and he was like, next time choose a better spot to pull over. Safe to say the relationship blossomed. It was worth replying. I should have just waited till there was a corner, like street that I could pull over into.
That's so good. Funny.
Oh, wow. What about you, Shell?
Well, I have to tell a huntsman story
first. Go for it.
So my husband went to check the mail one time when we lived in Sydney out in the like, I don't know, the Market Garden area. We lived in that sort of area of Sydney. And he opened the mailbox and reached in to grab the mail and a huntsman just landed on his arm. And so he like tried to pull and that scared the huntsman and it just kept running.
No.
And it ran down him, went all the way down his pant leg and then up inside.
No!
up inside. And he's like, what do I do? Do I get out right now and pull my pants, take my pants off right here in the middle of the street? Because we had like 5 mailboxes, you know, we weren't the only mailbox there. And so there was a bunch of other, he's like, do I gingerly drive back to the house and then, then try to get these pants off, get the huntsman off of me?
What did he choose?
He chose to drive back gingerly. And so he did.
Thankfully, he had a stowaway in the car in his pant leg.
So terrible. Okay, but I got to tell my gratitude as well.
Redeem the conversation.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, my gratitude is quite a sad story, really, but it's about just that I'm just so grateful for the tenderheartedness of little children, you know, and just how much love and trust and belief that they have. But my 3-year-old granddaughter yesterday came into the house with a bird in her hands. Aww. And she's like, Mommy, I found a bird, you know. And the bird had flown into the window and wasn't doing too well. And so they put it in a box and they were doing everything that they could to help this little dove. And she was checking on it regularly and it was her little project to try to get it well enough to go and fly off again. Aww. And when they finally felt that the bird was ready, they chained up their dog and they went out and they released the dove. And the dove started to, it wasn't flying well, you know, it was just, but it was trying to fly and then it flew straight to their dog.
Oh no.
And the dog caught it in its mouth, and before it could get rescued, that was pretty much the end of the poor little dove.
Oh,
and so my poor granddaughter had to go through all the stages of grief yesterday, and it was just a really sad story of how much she just cared for this little bird,
and really taking it under her wing. So
that's right, you know, and so just the story from her mom just explaining how, you know, she was just going through all of that. And it was just so sad, but also it was just so tender because we don't think about that level of pain anymore. You know, we see dead animals on the side of the road. And
the value of life for her.
The value of life for her, you know. Yeah. And then it just reiterates it back to us, you know, just how much God loves every animal and every bird, you know.
And God's word says, like, God cares even when the sparrow falls to the ground.
That's right.
Or flies into a window.
Exactly right. Hmm. Yeah. So precious. Yeah. So anyways, that was just, although it's sad, it also is just beautiful in the sense that, we just know how much God loves even the little sparrows. He loves all of us. And just to see that level of love in a child is always so special.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
And it's the best time of the day because it is quiz time. I love our quizzes. Producer Shell.
Erin, first of all, Erin, how competitive are you?
Well, let's put one question to the table and we'll verse our listeners and let's see who wins. Listeners versus Lindsay versus Erin.
They don't have as much of an opportunity as you because they are like 20 seconds delayed to us.
It's about the right answer, not the fastest answer.
Okay, first question of the day. Which book of the Bible records the travels and ministry of the apostles? Which book of the Bible records the travels and ministry of the apostles?
Wouldn't have a clue. Any multiple choice quiz?
You're going to know as soon as you hear the answer, you're going to be like, oh, of course.
But which book? The apostles. So we're talking about Jesus' disciples?
Yes.
There's only one book that records that? All right.
Largely,
Okay, if you are listening at home, we do need your quiz answers. Which book of the Bible records the travels of the apostles? Text us into the studio. Our number here all morning is 0491-064-669. Help a sister out.
You're going to kick yourself, honestly.
I'm going to guess.
Which book of the Bible records the travels and ministry of the apostles?
Here we go. Text us into the studio and all the best with your quiz.
All right.
All right. Okay. Submitting my answer. Good luck. Nah. It's not Luke.
This is too funny. Okay, let's go across to Nehemiah chapter 8. We are now in our More Like Him segment, and we are picking back up in Nehemiah chapter 8. Actually, we're picking up at the end of chapter 7. I keep having to correct myself on that. Erin, would you like to read from Nehemiah chapter 7, from verse 66 down to the bottom?
Absolutely. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 66. Oh, I'm like, two pages are stuck together. Doesn't that always happen? Here we are. All right. A total of 42,360 people returned to Judah. In addition to the 7,337 servants and 245 singers, both men and women, they took with them, do you want me to read all these numbers?
Yep.
Okay, 736 horses, 245 mules, 435 camels, and 6,720 donkeys. Some of the family leaders gave gifts for the work. The governor gave to the treasury 1,000 gold coins, 50 gold basins, and 530 robes for the priests. The other leaders gave to the treasury a total of 20,000 gold coins and some 2,750 pounds of silver for the work. The rest of the people gave 20,000 gold coins, about 2,500 pounds of silver, and 67 robes for the priests. So the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the temple servants, and some of the common people settled near Jerusalem. The rest of the people returned to their own towns throughout Israel.
Okay, so what you were just reading there was the end of an old document that Nehemiah had found when he was, trying to figure out who's actually come and how can we take a genealogy of the people who are currently here. So that was actually basically a genealogy that came out of the book of Ezra. And he's read that all out. We were reading through some of the interesting points of it yesterday. And that's kind of the end of the story. So that's what had happened in a previous, like, couple of decades before. Now we're starting at chapter 8. Would you like to read maybe, let's start with about four verses.
Okay, Nehemiah chapter 8 from verse 1. If you've got your Bibles at home, we encourage you to open up and read along with us. If you're in the car driving, just listen. In October, when the Israelites had settled in their towns. I love that it says the month of the year.
Yeah.
It's really specific.
Well, my Bible, the King James Bible, says the seventh month came, but I think, what version are you reading out of?
New Living Translation.
That's the one I listen to, which I love listening to. Right. And it also, I recognize it said October. I think it's handy. It tells us, because we don't know which is the seventh month.
Oh, yeah. Here it says in the commentary at the bottom, Hebrew, on the first day of the seventh month, in brackets, of the ancient Hebrew lunar calendar.
Yeah.
Because this day was October 8, 445 BC. There you are.
Because the seventh month in our calendar is not October. Mm. It's July.
The lunar calendar.
Yeah.
There you are. All right, starting again. In October, when the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people assembled with a unified purpose at the square just inside the water gate. They asked Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given for Israel to obey.
Actually, just pause here, please. Who did they ask to bring out the book?
Ezra.
Ezra. So this is the book of Nehemiah. Prior to us doing the book of Nehemiah, we were reading the book of Ezra, and I like how they're actually like crossing over into each other's stories a bit.
Yes. And Ezra's job was the scribe.
Yes. Yeah, so he was a scribe, which wasn't just a guy who wrote stuff down, but he was actually the most trusted religious leader of the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize that Ezra and Nehemiah were friends either.
Yeah, so in the book of Ezra, the first half of the book, up to about chapter 6, I believe, Nehemiah isn't part of the story at all. And then the space between chapter 6 and chapter 7 is the book of Esther. And then from chapter 7 onward is around the time of Nehemiah.
Okay.
So there you go.
There is a lot of... I'm fascinated when you see people put the Bible in chronological order. Mm-hmm. And it's so different to the order that we have it in today.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Verse 2. So on October 8, Ezra, the priest... Oh, yep, the priest and the scribe. He has two jobs. Brought the book of the law before the assembly, which included the men and women and all the children old enough to understand. I love that this is total member involvement. Bring the children, let them see you have worship and spend time with God. He faced the square just inside the water gate from early morning until noon and read aloud to everyone who could understand. All the people listened closely to the book of the law.
Okay, let's just pause there as well. Now, I think in the last couple of days, as we were reading through, we came across a part of the story where there were some people who actually were married to women who were not of Jewish descent. They were of Canaanite descent, and their children could not understand the Hebrew language. So we've got everyone here, from youngest to oldest, basically, that are listening to this, but not everyone can actually understand the language, certainly not the young children of a lot of the families. So let's keep going.
Verse 4, Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. To his right stood Mattithiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah and Messiah. To his left stood all those wonderful people listed there. Ezra stood on the platform in full view of all the people. When they saw him open the book, they all rose to their feet.
Okay, keep going.
Then Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people chanted, Amen, Amen, as they lifted their hands. Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground.
Okay, just pause here. So Amen, Amen essentially means we agree, we agree. Yeah, so he's praising God, they're all agreeing, we're all praising God together. That's great. What's interesting to me is he stands on a high platform above all the people. Now, in the temple service, God gave a specific instruction to not actually have priests standing up high. Did you know that?
I did not know that. I know that I've been into some like cathedrals over in Europe where certainly the priest person taking the service has got a platform elevated. And, you know, it's not a bad thing to want to see the person who's talking.
It's not a bad thing, definitely. But part of the pagan religions of the surrounding nations was that the priest was somebody who was standing high above the people.
Like an elevated, right, pride, almost promoting position.
Yeah. And they also had this sense that a high place, like a physically high place, like a mountain or a hilltop, made you physically closer to God or the spirit realm or, you know, the multiple gods that they believed in at the time. And so that there was this...
closer to the heavens.
Yeah. So this person must be closer to God.
More holy.
We have to look up to them.
Right.
But there was also an element of modesty as well. Like if there's a person standing up high, then you might be looking up their skirt or whatever.
Yeah. So they definitely needed to, yes,
have all their proper garments on.
Yeah. And nice, long.
Yes, down to the ankles.
Covering things. Yeah.
Definitely. But there is a sense of practicality in this situation because generally there would be only a few times a year when people would get together, like their various different convocations or events that would happen. But this time they're getting together to specifically listen to the reading of the law, which was probably the book of Deuteronomy or something like that. So Ezra is getting into position where everyone can hear his voice really clearly. And then there's also other people, as we'll see in a second, who are helping explain the law. So let's keep reading, shall we?
Verse 7, the Levites, all listed here, 12 names,
yeah,
then instructed the people in the law while everyone remained in their places. They read from the book of the law of God and clearly explained the meaning of what was being read, helping the people understand each passage.
Okay.
I love that. I think sometimes we, focus on reading people's ideas about God's word rather than just reading God's word.
Yeah.
Like, hey, let's just open our Bible and connect with God directly. There is a place for devotional books and all this kind of thing, but it's just powerful here. It says, they read from the book of the law of God and then clearly explained the meaning of what was being read. They needed, someone with a bit more understanding than what they had.
I feel like it's kind of what like we're doing here as we're reading through and we're stopping and we're breaking it down and we're saying, this is what was going on. This is some of the context. This is some things that you might not have thought of that are involved. Because even for the people of Nehemiah's time, this is literally hundreds of years after the book of the law was written. And so there might actually be some cultural shifts, or certainly the people who have returned from Babylon wouldn't understand like what it was like for the people who, you know, crossed the Red Sea and who came into the Promised Land and what it was like for them, that there would have been a lot of changes between those two times. And so the Levites and whoever was helping give the understanding would be like, okay, let's just pause here. Let's give you a little backstory and let's keep going. But also the point that there were some of these people who couldn't understand the original language. They might be breaking it down or translating it into the language that they do understand.
Which verse 9 actually says, then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people.
Interpreting.
So a massive shout out to people who make God's word accessible to people of different cultures and languages and putting it into words that we can all understand.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
And we have a quiz answer that I got wrong. Lindsay, I want to know, did you get it right or wrong?
Did you get to see?
Sorry.
Did you get to see the answers from the listeners? Do you have that screen up?
No, I haven't. She doesn't.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
So Axe is it. So. But you have the author right.
Thank you. I like the half point for Trump. What was the question that they were answering?
So the question was, which book of the Bible records the travels and ministry of the apostles? So Luke wrote the book of Acts. And so that's basically hopeful. It's after Jesus ascended, then it's the other book. That book that follows next is the one that's about them rather than about Jesus with them.
Yes.
It's funny, you were like, oh, what could it be? It could be Acts, Luke. Oh, let me write down Luke instead.
Like, I was like, you know, Acts is really about Paul's travels, but I guess all the others.
It's like the second half is about Paul, or second two-thirds, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's it. Hey, I want to know, question to you both this morning in the studio and at home, where have you seen God in your travels? Mm-hmm. So as you've traveled around the world, you know, are there places that you've seen God?
Nice. All right. So text us if you have an answer for that one, 0491-064-669. Share your story. We'd love to hear it. Mm. Our next quiz question. Let's see how you go this time. According to Proverbs 17:17, when does a friend love you? According to Proverbs 17:17, when does a friend love you? We've got a correct answer.
I accidentally screen cheated from Erin.
Did you?
We need that anti-reflect on the glass.
We have correct answers in the studio, although one was from a cheater. I'm not sure if they're following the advice of this here quiz question.
I just glanced at, and you were writing so big and you weren't hiding it at all or anything. Sorry. And I just saw the first couple of strikes. Oh, I know what it is now.
0491-064-669. Tell us what you think the answer is to this one. According to Proverbs 17:17, when does a friend love you?
Now, coming back to our travel question, where have you seen God in your travels around the world? Do you know what? In the South Pacific, the hospitality of the people is hands down Christian. Hey, like they've got nothing and yet they roll out the red carpet for you. I just think it's amazing.
Actually, I was in PNG a couple of years ago and I came across one of the places where I was staying. There was this Christian lady and she had a place for all of us missionary preachers to come and stay. And the way that she did hospitality, like all of us, they were like, this is a spiritual gift.
Yeah, wow.
Nobody's taught her how to do any of these things, but this is better than staying in a hotel. Like she anticipated our wants and needs. She really knew how to make us feel welcome and at home in a very foreign place.
That's so cool. Last year we went to Europe and I'd never touched Rome or anything like that until last year. And do you know what? I found some of the churches like just lots to look at and take in. And then I came home to my little humble church and I felt really grateful for the simplicity.
Really?
It's like I don't totally
get what you're talking about. Yes, for sure. I just don't mind. It's just so much access church. And you're like, no. We want God's presence for sure, and we want God glorified, but it just seems a bit
honoring and respectful and stuff like that.
Overwhelming, overstimulating just to look at.
Yeah. Yeah. It was quite an interesting experience. There you go. Maybe value my humble local church.
Yeah. There's the balance, you know, because you're like, he's our royal king, so he deserves like royalty, but yet he's also the servant king.
Yes. Yes.
You know? So he's not all pomp and ceremony. He's,
and the Bible says, can a temple contain the living God, right? He's so big. And yet in the Bible we see this fancy-dancy temple really built by, David funded it, right? Solomon built it. So it's quite an interesting tension, I guess we could say.
Yeah.
I love it. Fancy-dancy.
Fancy-dancy, not fancy-schmancy. I'm
sure Solomon wouldn't have appreciated my summary of his temple. He put a lot of effort into that.
Yeah. Okay. We are back in with the More Like Him segment. We've got our study of Ezra chapter 8 this morning. And when we were just looking at verse 7, Erin's version is a little bit different to the version that I have in my hands. And it's really interesting to look at different versions because they bring out some of the other, it's just really good to compare different versions because translating from one language to another, it often misses some key expressions. And so it's good to come at it from a few different angles sometimes just to see what you're missing with translation. So in verse 7, the people stood in their place instead of what Erin read out, which was remained in their place. And something about this stood out to me, that the people were standing as they were listening to the reading of the law.
Because we know from this passage that they read for a long time. It says early in the morning in verse 3 until noon.
Yes.
Like, you try making people stand for that long to listen.
Yeah, so this could be like 5 or 6 a.m.
to a lecture.
This is like 6 or 7 hours of standing, and this is the old people, the middle-aged people, the toddlers and the little 10-year-olds.
Like, how often do we see kids run around and, not able to sit still these days?
They weren't allowed to sit down and they weren't allowed to run around. They had to stand there, which I think really brings them. First of all, it shows a sense of reverence to the Word of God. And this is not something that they would do every single time. This is a once-off event. Mm. This is the first time they're ever hearing the law read out, certainly in one complete unit. So they're listening, focused. And have you ever sat in a long sermon at church or listened to a lecture at uni or something like that? And it's just going on and the person's kind of droning and it sounds a bit repetitive. And honestly, the book of the law would have had some repetitive parts, especially with the long lists of names and who begat who and all those things. I've been caught snoring in church once or twice.
Oh, no.
There's photo evidence of this out there in the world.
There's a difference between sleeping and snoring, too.
Yeah, just a light snore, not very loud that I'm aware of. But it's really easy when you're out there and the sun is warm and you're sitting in a cozy spot. It's really easy to nod off when somebody is just making monotonous sounds out of their mouth.
And yet they were standing possibly 6 or 7 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Respect. Crazy. So I don't think anyone would have been snoring or nodding off to the point of not being able to take in what they were hearing.
But they remained, a great deal of respect. Yeah. Some friends just recently came back from, I guess, preaching over in Fiji.
Yeah.
And they said that when they were there, it's a bit of a classic island time kind of moment where there was a delay in starting and, things didn't kick off maybe an hour or two after it was meant to. And yet the people remained. So they weren't standing, they were sitting.
Yes.
But even the children, because this was the focus, this was the draw point for their entire community. They wanted to come and hear the Word of God being presented. And this didn't happen every day. It was the exciting thing. And so people just stayed. They were like, however long it takes to start, we've got nothing better that we could imagine doing than hearing God's word.
Mm.
And I just think in our lives, how often do we remain with God? Do we abide? Do we just give ourselves permission to stop doing and just being and let God speak to us, not just us having a one-way conversation with God, but saying, God, I just want to be in your presence. I want to be still and know that you are God before I start anything else this day.
Yeah. So good. Yeah. We should all take an opportunity to just sit with God or stand with God. Probably sitting is more comfortable when you get the opportunity to. If standing is required, do that as well. I wonder how long I would stand just to hear God's voice. That's an interesting thought.
Yeah, you can walk outside.
Yeah.
My husband actually has great memories of his great granddad. He, you know, passed away when my husband was really little, but his memory of him is sitting in the prayer chair beside the window, reading his Bible. That's basically all he remembers of him.
Aww.
And what a powerful legacy to leave, hey, that he now gets to have his great-granddad's Bible in his library at home, and he knows that it's well-worn and that's the pattern of his life.
That's a super cool legacy. Wow. I only ever met one of my great-grandparents, and I don't have any memories of that. Like, she was a really cool great-grandmother till I was, like, 3 and a half. But, like, to have a memory of someone that far back in your lineage that all you remember is their connection with God, that's amazing.
And I think it's a real lesson to us as well, because when we're parents, we often think, you know, I've got to fit my devotional life in and around when my kids are asleep. But it's powerful for them to watch us having worship, you know, for us to be visibly spending time connecting with God, because then they know, hey, that's something that I want to do in my own life. And this is, you know, a spiritual discipline that's important, that I can have my own worship and mum or dad has their own worship, and that this is part of their day as well. They're not just doing it when I'm doing mine. So really, really powerful.
So good. Okay. Now we got up to, I think, halfway through verse 9, was it?
Yeah, so we're in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8 and verse 9. It says, "Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, 'Do not mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God.' For the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law."
Wow, what a response. Not only were they intently focused and listening, but they were actually recognizing that there were things that they weren't living up to in this law, that they weren't in alignment with, and they were mourning that. But the leaders are saying, "Don't cry, guys. Like, this is a great day. First of all, we're reading God's word. We're reading the Bible. We're making a start. We're heading in the right direction. This is not a time to feel, you know, super bad about yourself. Like, it's good to recognize that there is a difference between
acknowledge how far you've fallen from grace, but then recognize there's a God who can save you."
Yeah, exactly. And when you are heading in the right direction, it's going to be okay. Like, when you've repented, when you have felt bad about the sin and the wrong direction that you've been heading in, and then you've turned around to follow Jesus, that's a thing to rejoice over. And that's what he's saying here. Okay, let's keep reading, shall we?
Verse 10, "And Nehemiah continued, 'Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared.'" I love that. Part of the feast. But part of the feast is share gifts with people who have nothing.
Ooh.
You know, like, that's the celebration, because it's more blessed to give than to receive, right?
This is basically Christmas time for them.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Thanksgiving. It's all the same. "This is a sacred day before our Lord. Do not be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Oh, I've seen that written on quotes around people's home. The joy of the Lord is your strength.
I actually didn't realize it came from this verse.
Yeah, I'm going to underline that in my Bible.
Yeah.
I'm a Bible underliner. I find that just helps me, like, when I'm flicking through, think there's a gem and I want to read it as I skim past.
Exactly.
"And the Levites too quieted the people, telling them, 'Hush, don't weep, for this is a sacred day.' So the people went away to eat and drink at a festive meal, to share gifts of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they had heard God's word and understood them."
So good. I love that. Don't be crying on a sacred holy day. Like, you can cry a bit, but they're saying, no, this is a good day, and a holy day is not a day to be mourning or to be sad or sorrowful or even fasting excessively. Like, this is a day to just be happy and to share God's joy.
There's a verse in the New Testament. Can you guys think of where it is, where Jesus says, like, don't mourn, the bridegroom hasn't left yet? Like,
yeah.
I'm still here. Where is that?
Let me look it up.
But something to do with, like, there's a time for everything, right? There's a time to weep. There's a time to rejoice. Don't mourn. I haven't left yet. I'm still here.
Matthew 9:15. "Do not fast." he compared his physical presence to a wedding celebration.
No, she's talking about Ecclesiastes, where it says there's a time to everything under the season.
I think both of you are right, though. Yes, I did allude to multiple verses, but yes, definitely, definitely there is a time for everything. Yeah.
Yep.
Alrighty. Yes.
I love this concept of sharing gifts as part of the celebration, because it really is more blessed to give than to receive.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah. What, do you have any other thoughts on this passage?
I think some of my takeaways from this little Bible study that we've done here in Nehemiah 8 is that Ezra and Nehemiah were friends, that they coexisted. Yeah. I didn't know that. I think that it's cool that all the children joined with the mums and the dads to listen, that God's word wasn't just for one member of the household, but the entire family, and that they all listened closely, that they stood, that they were in agreement. They were like, amen, amen. And then the book was being read as it was, you know, it wasn't someone's thoughts about it, but it was just opening God's scriptures. Let's let God's word interpret itself. But then it says that they clearly explained and helped the people understand and translated, because sometimes God's word needs some translating for us, you know. Yeah. Sometimes we're like, hey, dad, help me understand this. Or, you know, you can message a pastor friend and just say, this is a really challenging passage. I don't think it depicts God the way that he is, you know, holy and loved. And I think this is a confusing passage. It's so good to know that we can reach out to people who are spiritual mentors in our lives or pastors that we know and say, hey, can you help me understand this?
Yeah, as you were just touching on the children were there as well, it reminded me that just a couple of days ago, I was chatting to a girlfriend of mine, and she said her, I think 10 or 11-year-old son has recently started reading like the King James Version of the Bible. And she's like, do you even understand what's going on there, like, kid? And I was like, just let him read it, honestly. Like, if he can get past the these and the thous, he'll be able to pick it up really easily soon enough. And I think it's important that we train up kids biblically in that we give them more that they can handle because they will grow up into it. Mm. They'll be able to get their head wrapped around it as time goes
on. Raise the bar, set the standard, and they'll rise to it.
Exactly. We should always make it a little bit higher than they understand so that they can keep working towards figuring it out.
Yes, yes. Yeah, pitch go.
Expect more.
Absolutely, absolutely. And create that opportunity for the kids to have their time with God as well. They are part of the family worship. It's age appropriate and, you know, fun, and there's songs and there's kids' books and lots of pictures and actions and charades, but there's also truth presented in its glorious form.
Yeah.
So good. Hey, we really encourage you to open your Bibles this morning and spend your own time with God.
We also have a quiz answer from producer Shell. What's that?
At all times.
At all times
is the answer. So our quiz question was, according to Proverbs 17:17, when does a friend love you? A friend loveth at all times.
Yes, they do. In the good and the bad. And I think, you know, of our wedding vows, it really says, in sickness and in health. Yeah. This ring is going to stay on.
Okay, in the rest of today's show, we're going to be listening to a story about putting God to the test and Erin's ultra marathon. We're going to be talking about earthquakes that are taking place around the earth right now. We're going to also be listening to Mike Pastor as Mike Parker. He's a pastor.
He is a pastor. Pastor Parker.
He's going to be sharing his personal testimony, and we're also going to be talking about our circumstances don't determine our usefulness to God in our encounter with God later on.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.